Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on the authority of the Bible.
This week we've been looking at the authority of the Bible. Today we're going to get right into the text, Romans 1, verse 16, where Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." We want to focus in on the fact today that the Bible has power. It is the power of God. It brings about the power of God when it's presented, when it's taught, when it's preached. And once again, it's that call back to our trust in the Scriptures alone to bring about the work of God. Everything needs to be based on the Scripture and the authority of the Bible. So Paul comes along as he's writing to the Romans. He says this, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, obviously, we realize that Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel, but let me put this in the setting in which he made this statement. As you read through the book of Acts, Paul went from city to city planting churches. And as he wrote these words, he was actually in Corinth at the time. And what happened building up to this point where he wrote this, he went to Philippi and he was imprisoned because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Thessalonica, which is the next city he went to, he was chased out after only two Sabbaths as he had the opportunity to reason in his synagogue for those 2 weeks. And then he went to Berea and he had to be smuggled out of the city. Then he went to Athens where the intellectual elite were, and basically they laughed him and scorned him and mocked him, thinking, oh, he's speaking about the resurrection, and completely rejected his message. Some did believe, but by and large, the majority of them mocked his message. Then he went to Corinth, where he was present at the time when he wrote this phrase. And in Corinth, he says, to the Greeks, the gospel is foolishness, and to the Jews, a stumbling block. So all these series of events that he met with frustration and rejection of the gospel and a complete despising of the gospel, even in some areas, he still comes and he sits down and he writes, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," because he knew that's where the power of God was. That's where the power of God was released as the word of God was taught. And then as he's coming to Rome, the Romans mocked the early Christians. We found through archaeology an early character of the Christians in Rome. And here was a little caption under a drawing where it pictured a man bowing down to a donkey that was crucified to a cross. And the little caption read, "Alexios worships his God." Obviously a complete mockery of Christianity, despising the message of the gospel. And that was the attitude of the Romans against Christianity in the early centuries, because their idea of a God coming down and caring was completely foreign to their minds. Their gods are apathetic and distant. And for the Christians to preach a crucified God was completely foreign to their mind. But Paul comes along and says, "Hey, I'm ready to go to Rome, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Now today, people can be ashamed. Maybe it's an intellectual shame where you say, well, the miracles in the Bible, they didn't actually happen, and you know, Jesus didn't actually feed the 5,000 just through the simple loaves and the fish, or the story of Moses parting the Red Sea and the miracles that are in the Old Testament, those didn't actually happen. Those are just stories. And so there's an intellectual shame denying the truths of the gospel. Also, there could be a social shame where you're ostracized because of your faith in Jesus Christ from your family or from your friends. But remember, Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace but a sword," even division within the household. Or for others, there may be a moral shame. There are certain demands upon us morally that we need to uphold and teach and present, even though it's out of step and out of date with society. We need to fully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and not be ashamed of it. See, when we teach the Bible, we are not to care how people respond. That has no bearing on what we're to teach them. We're not to back off from the truths that the Bible claims because people may mock them or criticize them or reject them. We just simply lay out the truth and we let man respond to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's his own responsibility. We have to remember that Paul did speak of the offense of the cross in Galatians 5, verse 11. Do you realize that the cross is offensive to people? You tell them that this is the only way to salvation. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, that there's salvation, no other name. People don't want to hear that. Or you preach the morals that are found within the Bible. People want to live as they want to live. They don't want that placed upon them. Well, we're not to back off from that and try to make the gospel more palatable for people, that give them what they want to hear. No, we need to teach the truth and not be ashamed of it in any sense. Chrysostom, who was one of the early church fathers, he actually wrote a commentary on the book of Romans that we have present today. And he said this about Paul not being ashamed. He says, "Paul was going to preach Jesus, who was thought to be a carpenter's son, who was brought up in Judea and in the house of a mean woman who had no bodyguards, who was not encircled in wealth, but even died with robbers and endured many other inglorious things. All this in Imperial Rome. So Rome, that place that was supposed to be a place for the elite, Paul was going to preach the crucified Messiah, and he says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Also, Martin Luther, as he wrote about the Word of God, he said this, he who believes the gospel must become weak and foolish before men in order that he might be strong and wise in the power and wisdom of God. Because the Bible does say that the wisdom of God is foolishness to men. The cross is offensive. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ says the natural man cannot receive because they're spiritual and they are in the flesh. And so our role now is not to back off or to water it down in any way. It needs to be presented as it is written, not to change it. And this is where I must make one point. Today in the church, what many churches are doing, they're involved in what is called the church growth movement. And their basic mindset is don't preach on certain subjects that are offensive to people. Teach on the truth of the gospel that people are ready to receive and avoid some of the other controversial sorts of subjects. To me, I believe that is the exact opposite of what Paul the Apostle is saying. He met with opposition. He met with people rejecting the gospel, but he never changed the gospel. He never changed the message because he had full assurance in it, full confidence in it. He wasn't ashamed of it in any means. And I think today some people are afraid to present the gospel because people may reject it. That's what will happen. Look, people rejected Jesus while he was here. They're going to reject us. So our role is not to try and make it more acceptable to people. We need to present the truth, and then their decision lies with them. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and here's why, because it is the power of God to salvation. Within the preached word of God, within the Bible being taught, there's power in it. The power of God to salvation. This is the Greek word dunamis, which is also referred to in Acts 1:8, speaking of the power of the Holy Spirit. I think when you combine the power of God, when you look at those subjects in the scripture, for the New Testament church, the power of God works through the teaching of the Word of God. I believe when the Word of God is preached, that's when the power of God is at work. And so why should we be ashamed of that? It brings conviction upon the heart. We need to not be ashamed. We need to have full confidence and full trust in the Bible that it'll bring about the conversion of men's hearts, will bring conviction. And we need to present the Word of God with that full assurance. This is exactly what Paul said to the Thessalonians when he came to them. He writes this in the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians in verse 5. It says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. So when the word of God is preached, it comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. But he also adds this, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. He says in much assurance. And I don't think he's talking about the fact that the Thessalonians had much assurance or much confidence in the Bible, but those that presented the Word of God. Paul and the rest of his team, they preached the Word of God with much assurance. And that's the way it needs to be communicated today, with full confidence, with much assurance, that it is the power of God to bring about that transformation of life. So when Paul came into Rome, he wasn't going to change his message in any form. He was not ashamed of it. Just like he went into Thessalonica, he had much assurance in the gospel there. He had much assurance in the gospel at Rome that it would come about and bring the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of that church. And so today, once again, we need to be called back to have that full assurance, that much assurance in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. When the word of God is taught, it could bring about that conversion of heart, where people put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. It is the power of God's salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So it's a power for anybody. You don't change the message. You give the message out, and the power of God works in the life of people. And then it says it is the power of God for salvation. Now, salvation here in the context does not only mean people being converted. It does mean that. But salvation is not only the fact that we receive the Lord and we're saved, but also there's more in salvation. Like right now, there's the present ongoing work of our lives being transformed, as Paul says, from one degree of glory to the next. We call that sanctification. So Paul is also making reference to that, that the Word of God has power to bring about that transformation of life as well. to change us from one degree of glory to the next, from one degree of Christ-likeness to the next. And that's where Paul's confidence was. And he says, I want to come to you to Rome. I want to minister the word of God to you. That's where my confidence is, because I want to preach and bear fruit among the Gentiles. I want to bring them to salvation. But also, through the teaching of the word of God, it brings about that transformation of life. And so when Paul was going to go to Rome, the message was not going to be changed. He was going to come with full confidence, without any shame in it, preach the word of God, and believe that it was going to bring about the transformation of life in the people at Rome there. That's what the book of Romans discusses, what salvation is all about, how to come to faith, and then also that ongoing work of the Holy Spirit of transforming our lives is found in Romans 6, 7, and 8. And Paul says that comes about by the gospel. One last thought. This word gospel is an interesting word, and many people have heard the translation that it means the good news, and that's true. It is good news, but it's much more than good news, isn't it? Good news is that I got a raise or that I'm healthy. But the word gospel, it's an interesting term historically, the way it was used. It was used to describe when an army would go in and defeat and utterly conquer another nation. An individual would be sent back to his homeland to present the news that we have won. And that message was actually called the gospel. It was an official proclamation of victory. And that's what Paul says here, the gospel, it's an official proclamation of victory. The victory of who? Of us? No, but of Jesus. He came, he conquered sin and death and hell on our behalf so that we could have life now. And Paul says, I want to present that truth to you in Rome, basically anywhere, to anyone that would believe, that official proclamation of victory that Christ accomplished on the cross. And as that is presented, the work and the power of the Holy Spirit of God is in operation. And so once again, we need to be called back to having the word of God taught in its entirety. As Paul told those Ephesian elders, hey, I'm innocent from the blood of all men because I have not shunned to declare to you the entire counsel of God. So as we tell people and teach people the entire counsel of God, it'll bring about that power of God into salvation. To anyone who would believe, but also for us as believers, of changing our lives into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. May your confidence be in the word of God and in it alone.